Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion. And now we got the bass banging from head to Buckingham Palace. They're all moving. Hey, Simon.
Morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Today on the radio show, let's see, that means it's Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He was at the Grizzly exit interviews yesterday. And then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday in the second hour. I happen to know that Fishman, he filed for an extension on his taxes.
Really?
Yeah. Does he strike you as the person who does things punctually?
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
No, he's a procrastinator?
No, are you a procrastinator?
Yes.
And what do you think?
So my procrastination, though, is largely based, on experience. If I don't have a deadline or something to force me to do it, I'll just sit around and twiddle my thumbs.
Do you think most people are procrastinators? Right, Google that. What percentage of people are procrastinators? I guess there are non-procrastinators out there. People who just it's on their list and they boom, 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 do it. Why do it?
That's
why
my
do
wife.
It tomorrow if you could do it today, right? Why do it? Now the theory is that procrastination is a form of perfectionism, right?
That's not it for me.
I've never bought that, but it's people who are,
it's a motivator for me.
People who are scared of doing that they really are perfectionists, and so they can't come to grips with the idea of doing something less than perfectly, and so it forces them to not do it at all. I don't really believe that. Now, I also don't think procrastination is simply, it can be, laziness. Do you think it's just laziness? I don't think it's just laziness.
No, I do think, I don't think of, the guys at South Park write an episode in 7 days, and they usually turn it in, at the 11th hour.
At the end.
I don't think of them as lazy guys. I do think that...
Well, that seems like perfectionism. They're working on it and fine-tuning it and fine-tuning it and fine-tuning it. For me, here's a version of perfectionism that I sort of believe that is for me. This is true. Is that a lot of the things... I'm not lazy. I work pretty hard, right? But faced with a task that I don't want to do, because whatever involves something that I'm not good at. Taxes would be one. you know, logging on to figure out why my AT&T bill is whatever would be another. Like particularly things like that, you know, like that involve technology or involve forms or details or whatever. I think people often procrastinate because the things they procrastinate about
are things they don't want to do.
It's avoidance. It's avoidance of things that make them feel bad about themselves.
Yeah, I can buy that.
You know what I mean? Like yep. It. And so, what do we do? Well, as human beings, we avoid bad feelings, right?
Correct.
And so, for me, to any of these things that I'm really bad at, anything involving technology, anything involving details, filling out forms, like whatever else, anything that would require you. Once you start doing it, to lay your hands on the documents that enable you to do it. Like, for example, like if you need, for this, you're going to need your social security number and your, I know my social security number. You're going to need your social security card and you're going to need what, I'll just avoid that stuff because it makes me feel bad. Human beings avoid things that make them feel bad. Stands to reason. And that's why the things about which I procrastinate, I tend to be those things.
So this is interesting. According to, what is this? Is this the Tulane study?
Yeah, Tulane. We'll buy Tulane. Okay.
Studies show that around 20% of adults procrastinate chronically. Studies show around 50% of college students procrastinate in a consistent and chronic manner. 75% of themselves consider the or 75% consider themselves to be procrastinators, and
so most of this is of college students or people in life?
So it's both, but I guess they were looking up because it was a Tulane study.
I would bet most people, so, if you say, are you, just walk up to a random person on the street, are you a procrastinator? More people would say yes.
And I think actually, and that to me, like this lines up with your theory. I think more people consider themselves to be procrastinators than would be judged
as procrastinators.
Correct.
They self-identify it. Correct. Because they use the phrase, they identify
but
as
I
procrastinators.
But I think it goes back to what you're hinting at. A lot of people know, like,
damnedest thing about procrastination, it's like exercise, is that once you actually get yourself to do the thing about which you're procrastinating, it's usually easier. Like, you've built it up in your mind to be such an ordeal, and then you do it, and you're like, that wasn't so hard. And so, why do we then, like, you should learn lessons from that. You should, like, doing that thing made me feel better about myself, and so next time I just won't procrastinate. But we don't learn. It's the same way with exercise. Exercise actually, if you exercise, you tend to feel better after you exercise.
Not me.
But it doesn't. It
tend
doesn't
to hurt.
It doesn't then become self-reinforcing. It doesn't like. It isn't like, because I felt better when I exercise, I'm going to keep exercising. For a lot of people, each time they make there's this hurdle to get over every time you exercise.
When we go to the pearly gates, do we get to ask the questions first, or does God?
God doesn't need to ask questions.
Because one of my first
God
ones
knows
is,
all.
One of my first ones is.
So you can ask him what you hear her or whatever,
right.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
Whatever being. One of my first is going to be, why is it 10 times harder to get into shape than it is to get out of shape? It's not like, it's like one of the craziest ratios.
No. If you, that's exactly right. If you.
Like, it's not as if, like, I can understand 2-1, 3-1. Okay.
It's 10-1.
It's like 10-1.
Yeah. In 4 days, you can get out of shape.
Yes.
Whereas, get back into
shape. It'll take you another 3 weeks to get back to where you were.
I don't know. God has a lot to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, so do we. Today on the radio show, I kind of put off. Telling you.
See what you did there.
It's kind of whatever. Today on the radio show, Chris Harrington.
Did you procrastinate?
And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I don't procrastinate preparing for the radio show because I enjoy it. So
mm-hmm.
I don't, it's not one of the things about which I procrastinate. All right. I guess the headline event, Jeffrey, in sports in Memphis this week or yesterday certainly was the Grizzlies. Wrap up press conference. And we'll have Chris was there. We'll talk to Chris more about his thoughts. He has a piece up at the Daily Memphian. You can read it there. Yesterday, we went through what could be said and how earth-shaking it would be. Let's just go through some of the things that were said. We won't use the same 1 to 10 scale because we don't, you know, we don't like to repeat ourselves here on the show. I guess the headliner was, I mean, it shouldn't have been the headliner because it was obvious, but Kleiman saying, we're going to need a big, we're not going to hide the ball on that, we need to add a big to the rotation. But the part that was interesting was when he said, we are in a better position with Jaren at center.
Yep.
So, of course, then Brandon Clark came out and said he likes a Jaren at the four. What did you... It's obvious. It's obvious they need another big. And it's obvious the type of burly big they need. But what did you make of... And again, we'll talk to Chris about this later. We believe we are in a better position with Jaren at center. I didn't expect that. I expected him to say, we like to be interchangeable. He's, you know, we matchups matter. We like... But he actually came out and said, better position with Jaren at center.
Yeah, so... When I listened to the whole answer, it was a little more like theoretical than it was like.
It was totally theoretical.
Correct.
Yes.
But I'm with you. I think it's telling that even if it's theoretical, that is his view. I was wondering if maybe that was the coming to grips with the reality of, hey, we've got three guys that are going to cost us 70% of the salary cap. It'd be awesome to have, you know, another $20 million big. But maybe that's not in the realm of possibility.
But I guess this is, to me, if you're saying your ideal world has Jaren at center, which you didn't really need to say. You could have said, so we need, you know, versatile players who can fit roles, matchups, et cetera. And he said some of that too. Does it suggest that if you have a lottery pick, and the lottery pick is at 7, or let's even say you jump up into the top 4. Let's say you jump up to 3.
Right.
And so the 3, Donovan Klingon is right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you've basically said you like Jaren at center. Now, that's not a huge contract. That's just using your lottery pick, high lottery pick, on a guy who basically, when he plays, forces you out of your ideal. Does it make it, I guess my question is, they're going to go get a big. Does it make it less likely that they are targeting a center with that high pick, given that they don't prioritize it?
I'm going to say no, it doesn't, actually, because in the end, using that high pick, like even if you take Klingon, okay, let's say Klingon gives you 20 to 25 minutes a game, but he does get played off the floor.
Like right, or even 18 situation, minutes a game.
Whatever, he gets played off the floor. That's still a useful player.
Yes, but I guess my question is, there's no question it would be useful to have that, and they want that kind of player. But this is a premium asset. It is the premium asset. Do you find using the premium asset for a guy who, by definition, the way you phrased it, does not fit the team as you at its best?
I don't even necessarily know. It felt like most of what he was discussing was kind of on the defensive end rather than the offensive end. And so, like, I do think there is always going to be this push and pull with the Grizzlies, because oftentimes I think what's better for them on the defensive end is not what's better for them on the offensive end. Like, for instance, use the Steven Adams example. There were series where defensively he was going to struggle against more athletic bigs, but on the offensive end, he was the type of guy that allowed Ja to get going downhill, and that allows their offense to be at its highest form. So I think maybe also it's possible with Kleiman, there was maybe just some realization of, hey, in the series that are going to define us, most time people go small.
Right.
And so.
And we're going to, that will be the, it for us, that will be ideal. Okay. Next thing that he said, and this to me was interesting. Luke Kennard, of course, did not participate in the postseason wrap up pressers. And then about Luke Kennard, said that while they still believe in him, or however he phrased that, there is, quote, still a decision to make. I mean, that is technically true, but even saying that suggests that they have not made that decision.
I kind of took it to say it depends.
I think it totally depends.
That was my interpretation.
Depends on what?
I think it depends on, okay, who are some bigs that become available. Maybe it's, hey, where do we fall in the lottery? Like to me, it's like, it felt like their default position is they would prefer to bring him back, but they didn't know what else would become available. To me, that's kind of how I interpreted it. It was going to be more based on, all right, once we get past the draft into free agency and we kind of know what's out there, maybe our only answer is we have to not pick up this option, and that gives us the flexibility to go and to do what we want.
Do you believe he will be on the team next year?
I think when push comes to shove, I think they're going to need the money. So I'm going to, it's like 51-49, because I think they would like to bring him back, because I think if they didn't want to bring him back, I think they would have probably tried to move him or do something with him. I think they would like to bring him back, but I think in the end, they're going to be in a position where you're going to need that money for something else.
I also think what they get with their draft pick matters. You know, like if they get a Reed Shepherd, although Reed Shepherd, they're making a push to keep Reed Shepherd at Kentucky, that sort of suggests you're less apt to have.
Sure.
Don't you think?
I mean, I think it does. I guess my fallback is it's always easy to believe that you've got a great shooter coming in. You have one known, proven entity in Kennard.
All right. D. Rose said that he has talked to the powers that be. He wants to be back, and he expects to be back. And in fact, it was kind of sweet. Here's what: do we have a little Derrick Rose?
We do indeed.
Here's
Jeff.
A little Derrick Rose from yesterday.
Shout out to Matt Infield, who I'm using his video.
His video of it.
It's all full circle, bro, coming back here, having my family here, my wife family's from here, being back in this arena, having some of the people that came to my college games actually come to my professional games here. Like, it's all love having my son be here and understanding that it's important for his growth, too. He told me that he wants to be in the NBA, so I got to hold him to that standard. And for him to see this, the guy's routine, him shooting on the court, him building confidence, him talking to Ja, being around Ja, just everything Ja represents as far as like a hooper and like a role model, like my son is able to see that firsthand. So I know I made the right decision by the smile that my son gets on his face when he's in the same van with Ja, or he's with his dad, or we're having a conversation and he's talking about tea and his bucket hats. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's those moments are probably like priceless. And even though, like I said, the year wasn't what I wanted to be, far from that, but you have to see beauty in everything. And that's the beauty that I see, what I got out of it. And not only that, what my son gets out of it, where I probably never, he'll probably have to tell you how it feels, but looking back, it's kind of like a cool ordeal to like see and like, yeah, see how it's playing out and living it in real time, having gratitude, living in every moment, living in joy. It's a lot of people that live in happiness, but happiness is, I feel like it's temporary. So with joy, I feel like that's what this bond or me coming here, like that's what I'm fulfilling within myself and within my family and with me building my family is like joy, where it's living in every moment, cherishing every moment, protecting every moment.
The guy's become, you know, Socrates.
Yeah, a philosopher.
He's become a philosopher. It is interesting, though, because I think, let's be honest, he was not a help on the court this year, right?
No, I mean, he couldn't get on the court.
He couldn't get on the court this year. And so does that mean, is it worth, but if he was brought here to bolster Ja and form a relationship with Ja, the way that he talks about it suggests that he has done exactly that, right?
Yes, I would agree. I mean, also, I think the way that it's being presented is, it seems like you said, a conversation was had, and if he wants to be back, he's going to be back, and it seems like he wants to be back.
Ja Morant spoke. He will be ready by midsummer. We knew that. This actually had just came out while we were talking about this yesterday. But then there were talk about how Ja has made significant strides off the court. He talked about how he's found joy in his AAU team. What's your level of confidence that that we're done with this stuff with Ja, that we're done with the nonsense, that there will be no more nonsense?
Like 55%? Like, I think it's kind of easy when you're hurt and you're not out on the road and you're not in the limelight. I think it's kind of easier to fall back. I'm curious to know, because I expect when he gets back healthy, like, he's going to be Ja Morant again. And I think that's going to be kind of the question is, once you're back center stage, what are the decisions that you're making?
But wouldn't this have been, when he's away from basketball, wouldn't this have been the most perilous time? You know what I mean? Like, he's got time on his hands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, there's an argument to be made, but for me, it seems like much of the pressure on Ja comes when he's superstar Ja. And I do think that part of, you know, in the NBA, we just move on so quickly. It's like, who's next? We're always on to that. I think that kind of puts you, like, out of sight, out of mind to a certain degree. And so, to me, the big question is, like, I'm more than a coin flip, but I would like to see it when he's back at the superstar level. Like, what's the behavior?
I guess it's funny. I'm knocking on everything, right? But
sure.
I guess I think it's done. Well, let's be honest. For most players, if you're going to say, just name any player in the NBA, is that player going to be suspended for off the court activity, you know, transgressions again? You would say no, right? Here you go. Ready is
Draymond
is Victor Wembanyama going to be suspended for off the court activities? You'd say no,
yeah.
Right? Is Scoot Henderson going to be supported? You'd say no. Like, for most players that you
sure
you'd bet no. Most aren't, right? Some are suspended for Draymond for on the court activities.
Correct,
but. So now Ja has a history, obviously.
I mean, I think that's kind of the other thing. It's like, I would like to know what is the percentage of, like, when guys don't get suspended for their off-court behavior, it's like, okay, well, there's a pattern, but it's like, does it increase if you get suspended once?
Right.
And then I would presume if you get suspended twice, that it's even more.
I mean, very clearly, for people with addiction issues,
mm-hmm.
we've seen multiple again and again sure. and again, right? But I guess I'm pretty hopeful about that. Desmond Bane, we learned that his injury was weeks, not months. And to me, the real news there was it was a real injury, right? If it's weeks,
yes.
not months, like, there was some suggesting that Des was being held out because the games didn't matter or whatever else. But if it's weeks, not months, that means the dude was really injured.
No, and this actually to me was more of a confirmation. My suspicion was when he came back and was playing, like, okay, yeah, maybe he wasn't going to play the second night of a back-to-back, or when he played 46 minutes in a game, he wasn't going to play the next day. The fact that, like, he wasn't really moving around that much, my suspicion was, oh, he tweaked something at the minimum.
So, and then Ja said, when are they going to win a title, or when could they win a title? And he said next year. So, and Chris's piece up is that they made the best of a bad year, but now the pressure begins.
Yeah.
How good do you think they will be next year? How good can they be next year? And how much depends on what they do this summer?
So I think if we want to be, it's always fun to talk about the transactions because, hey, that's something.
But
that
almost all of it's health related.
I think my first question is,
how healthy will they?
Well, what's Ja's form?
Right.
Because we've seen this year, like, early in the season, Jaren and Dez played pretty dang well, and it didn't matter. They stunk. Like, yeah, the
that is interesting. Those two dudes, and normally, like,
I mean, that when we laugh about what a horrible decision I made. Well, when you kept offering
you can talk.
Me.
You can talk about what depth Phoenix has, or what depth issues Denver has, or normally what LA has.
Yeah.
If you've got two truly great players, you're going to be good.
Theoretically.
Right? You should be good. It suggests two things. This is not a news flash. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bain are not LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Right? And nor are they Jokic and Jamal Murray. Nor sure. are they, you know, KD and whichever the two stars. You like, whatever, you know. So it suggests that they are as good as they are. They're not good enough to carry a team to excellence by themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that, like, if the team were here, they would point out, well, at that point, we hadn't discovered Vince Williams, and, you know, we hadn't discovered Gigi, and maybe it would have been a little bit different. But they were the worst team in the league at that point. They were, like, right there with Detroit in terms of the record.
We are looking at a West that is absolutely loaded.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely loaded. And so I don't think, like, if would you bet, I'm going to hear it right now, will they finish in the top four in the West next year?
So I think I'd bet yes, because in the end, I do believe that there's proof of concept that they're a pretty good regular season team. Like, I think I do, I am willing to treat this season as an outlier. I would vote yes, because I think there's only one clear team that I would put in front of them, and that team is Denver.
I mean, I'm going to put Oklahoma City in front of them.
But I mean, to me, like, I want to watch.
And then you look around, like, Sacramento.
But, I mean, they tailed off this
year. They 100% tailed off this year. But, honestly, how many wins do they have this year compared to last year? The difference is that the West is so much better. New Orleans figured some things out. Dallas loaded up and figured some things out.
To your point, they were a 46-win team, or they were a 48-win team last year. They're a 46-team team this year.
And this year they're in the play-in. This year that gets you in the play-in. So the difference isn't that they tailed off dramatically, although they did tail off at the end of the season. The difference is that the West is freaking loaded. And so, and in terms of how much matters what they do this summer, obviously it matters what they do this summer. But you know what? In the end, it's going to be Jaren, Ja, Dez, I predict Marcus Smart, and I don't think any whatever. It's going to be Vince Williams. It's going to be Brandon Clark. And it's going to be some big.
Yeah.
And the big will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I don't really think, unless the big is a disaster, or I don't think the big will either be a disaster or a superstar.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be some big.
Some league average.
Some league average big. And so, actually, I don't think that much hinges on what they do this summer.
I think most of it hinges on what is the form of Ja when he returns and how many games he's played.
And what's the health of this team? 100%. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to play Believe It or Not. Chris Harrington will have thoughts on all this when we return. Obviously, play-in games start tonight. The college football portal opened today. So there's action there. We have a lot to get to when we return. And we will do that in a moment. Before, I will tell you, if you are one of the 5% or so of the folks who gamble who find it to be a burden financially, emotionally, who really struggle with it, this was assumed. Like, when we know that most people just have fun with gambling, but about 5% don't. So when it becomes as widespread as it is, there will be people who really struggle with gambling. And it can take a financial toll. It can take an emotional toll. And for those folks, there is the Gambling Clinic over at the University of Memphis. They've been around since 1999. They've helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. They set up 10 to 12 individual sessions, confidential sessions with someone who is an expert on gambling addiction. They're not anti-gambling. They just don't want people's lives ruined. So if that's you or someone you love, you can look them up at thegamblingclinic.com. We'll be back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's only one 92.9 Memphis.
NASCAR!
92.9 FM ESPN is a proud partner with the Talladega Super Speedway and the Geico 500 this weekend at Talladega. Ryan Crichton is the president of Talladega Super Speedway, and he joins me now. Big week ahead.
The week is here, and it has started. So much stuff. I just suggest everybody go to TalladegaSuperSpeedway.com to just see all of the events, all the activities, all the special ticket pricing we have. You'll be amazed at everything that happens at Talladega. One of our sayings is, this is more than a race.
Talladega!
Shop our best savings for spring during Spring Fest at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off. Plus, save an extra $150 on every $1,500 you spend on select major appliances. And save on premium 2-cubic-foot mulch. Get 5 bags for just $10. Because Lowe's knows spring. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid to 4/17. Appliance savings vary based on purchase amount. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. Premium mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
Hey, I got a question for you. You hate bending over to put on your shoes? Wish you should just put them on standing or sitting without ever having to touch them? If so, then I have the shoe for you. Introducing new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. With new Skechers Slip-ins, you just step in and off you go. You don't even need to lace up. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? Well, there's a special smooth comfort pillow in the heel that helps your foot slide right into place. So just step in them and go. Find new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins for the whole family at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same-day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right, or it's printed again, free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
The laundry room. For as long as I can remember, this was the only place to get a good Wi-Fi connection. Until we got Xfinity. Now we have Wi-Fi all over the house. So, you're probably wondering why I'm still hanging out in here, when I could be happily streaming in the attic, basement, or literally any other room. Well, the truth is, it's warm in here. And I like the smell of dryer sheets.
Get out of here, weirdo.
Hey, close the door. You're letting cool air in.
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi with Xfinity. Now through April 21st, get started with 300 megabit internet for $35 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract and get free Wi-Fi equipment included for a year. Plus, ask how you can save 40% over T-Mobile in your first year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires prepaid plan and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Actual speeds vary. Compares Xfinity Connect More Internet against T-Mobile Home Internet at $60 per month. Regular pricing applies after promo period.
The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, so it seems only fair that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. All you have to do, if you're a new user over at FanDuel, place a $5 bet and you get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, that you can use during the NBA playoffs. I mean, you can bet on three-pointers made. You can bet on first basket scores. Of course, you can pick the game. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's FanDuel.com/Calkins to get started. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. FanDuel is official sports betting partner of the NBA. It's safe, it's secure, and you get your money fast. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
Can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors in Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
Let me tell you about my friends Carl and Karen. This place is sus. Let's go to Tunica.
And so they did. And immediately, they became winners.
Hey, baby, what you doing?
Winning. Hey, baby, what you doing?
Winning.
And not just gaming either. They did spa.
Winning.
Dancing.
Winning.
Or at the sportsbook.
Winning.
Or enjoying a world-renowned meal.
Winning.
No matter what you're doing in Tunica, you're always a winner.
Learn more at tunicatravel.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone, it's Boomer Esiason here. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your game, all with the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All on the Free Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Website is joshhasthebuyers.com. Because, you may have guessed this, joshhasthebuyers.com. That's Josh Hysaw over at Keller Williams and his team at Keller Williams. If you're selling your house, I would recommend you contact Josh Hysaw. And this is the perfect time. Honestly, there's still a shortage of houses on the market because people are hanging on to their houses because of the interest rates and stuff like that. So you call Josh, and what you'll learn is he's not just like any other agent. Flexible fees, no upfront cost, let you out of your contract at any time. He knows the market. He's aggressive. He can't promise that he'll have multiple offers within 24 hours, but the truth of the matter is a lot of people do. It's why if you pop on over to his to Google, you'll see that he has more than 300 five-star Google reviews. It is joshhasthebuyers.com. Phone number 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Let's play Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe it. I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe it or not on the Jeff Calkins Show.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting screwed out of a spot on the U.S. Olympic team.
Believe it or not.
I said don't believe it because I always feel like it's always going to be a LeBron super team no matter what. So it just didn't feel like he's in that click.
Well, and in fairness, if you look at the team, you tell me who you're bumping, okay? Here's the team as it was reported by Woj yesterday. There's one open slot. LeBron, KD, Steph, Embiid, Tatum, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards. That's it. So the bigs are Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, and Joel Embiid.
Correct. I mean, I guess you can make an argument.
Like, really? How can you? You're not disrespected if you're behind.
What's Embiid's health?
If you're behind those dudes, yeah. But presumably, if he's not healthy, he won't be on the team.
I'm also just not in love with the idea of like, did we really need to bring Embiid into the fold?
You know what? This is a nation of immigrants.
Yeah, I understand. He's already played for other national teams.
We're a melting pot. And if you happen to be a super, super, super talented big dude, I'm happy to have you in the melting pot.
To me, like, this is just the LeBron angle. But we've got to put a super team together.
But it's not just friends. It's the best players in the world. I mean, not in the world, because in the world, a lot of them are international. Like, my point is, I don't actually... Like, who's left off who should be playing who is American because they're LeBron's friend? With all due respect to Jaren, it's not Jaren.
No, I mean, I would listen actually to an argument between him and Adebayo, but I think Adebayo's got more cachet.
And Adebayo has done it before. He has experience doing it. He's got gold medals, multiple maybe. He's got more experience in high-level basketball. So I don't actually... Now... There's one more slot, and Kawhi is mentioned for that one slot. Again, he's one of their buddies, but he's freaking Kawhi, you know? Paul George, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, and Paolo Banchero. Now, you could argue there, if you want to make an argument there. The only players from the team from this past summer. They finished fourth, I think. I think they finished fourth.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The only players on this team that were on that team are Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton. I know Jaren said he said yesterday he'd like to do it. Of course he'd like to do it.
Sure.
And I think he would be good. I just don't think you can be outraged by it. It's also very clear that this is the last hurrah, right?
Yes.
This is that they'll do this in Paris, but like who's going to be too old next time? LeBron, KD, Steph, Embiid will probably be limping off somewhere, right? Exactly. Tatum and Booker still will be relevant. Drew Holiday, he'll probably be too old too. Anthony Davis, too old. Bam Adebayo would still be around, I guess. Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, certainly. But basically, two-thirds of this team, this is it for them.
Yes, absolutely.
And so... there will be future Olympics, and I think there's a reasonable argument. Now, there'll be future bigs, too, but the best one's French, you know?
Yes.
So I imagine that Jaren will make an Olympic team sometime if he wants to make an Olympic team.
But I think it's possible in L.A. that both Ja and Jaren are Olympians.
Well, that's the other thing. It is interesting that Ja, of course, is and this feeds into the, has he been outstripped? Not necessarily in ability or talent or accomplishment, but in public perception. Certainly by Anthony Edwards has been, and Tyrese Halliburton.
I will say this, though. This does feel to me like a big playoffs for Anthony Edwards because we've seen the raw like athleticism and the ability to score, but it's like, you know, that Denver game last week was the same thing.
It is a big playoffs for that entire franchise,
yeah.
Honestly. For Chris Finch and for Anthony Edwards. And, like, it's one thing to lose, as they have in the past, as the underdog in the playoffs, including to the Grizzlies. But now they're coming in as the favored team, you know. And I do think it's a significant playoff series for that franchise. Anyway, I don't believe he's getting screwed. It's possible Dez makes a Olympic team. I think it's likely Ja, as long as he flies straight, will be on the next Olympic team. And I think it's likely Jaren will be as well.
Yep.
But I don't for a minute think they're being screwed. Tonight you're going to be rooting for the New Orleans Pelicans and the Sacramento Kings.
Believe it or not.
Lakers at Pelicans is the first game. Warriors at Kings is the second game.
I think that is the case. The one thing, though, is I really think if the Lakers lose, like, I don't want to live in this world where, like, the Lakers punt a play-in game. I don't think they're going to do it. And
I don't think they're going to punt it.
I don't either. Yeah, that's in terms of just rooting. Like, I'm,
I actually
there's
don't
no way I'm going to root
so.
For the Lakers, and there's no way I'm going to root for the Warriors.
I think I'm going to. Yeah, but so the Lakers and the Pelicans. I don't like the Pelicans.
Yeah, but
I'll be honest.
But,
I don't like the Pelicans. I don't like them as the idea that they've outstripped the Grizzlies. The Lakers are getting old. Whatever else, I wouldn't. If the Lakers win and set up a. And they're just gonna lose to Denver.
Yeah, but
that'll be ignominious. I think I'm gonna be rooting for the Lakers to beat the Pelicans because I don't like the Pelicans, and I think I will very clearly be rooting for the Kings to beat the Warriors because they need revenge from last year because they're the scrappy small market team and because Draymond Green is a Warrior.
Yeah, I still think though we've got to remember where we are in the calendar. We have now turned into the insufferable Laker coverage part of the calendar.
Right.
And so if I...
You want it to end. You want it to end precipitously.
Correct.
I don't mind it ending. No, but I don't mind him getting... Gabe brought this up. He doesn't mind them getting swept by Denver.
I don't, but I would also like to just see them not get, like, completely knocked out, and then we get to do the whole, why did we even talk about this team for as long as we did?
Maybe the best way is for them to win and play Denver as opposed to losing, then beating the Warriors... And then playing Oklahoma City. You may be stuck with them for longer that way.
Yeah, but could you imagine them losing to Oklahoma City?
I could.
Like,
I could
my point is, like, yeah, give me that.
All right. Pacers are going to beat the Bucks.
Believe it or not.
So they've been the Bucks' kryptonite all year.
We have a update. Yeah, I think it was 4-1 they were.
I think it was 3-1.
3-1?
You might be right because of the play-in.
And that was with Giannis, and now we do know that Giannis, again, this is reaffirmed in a report today from Woj, that, yeah, they're 1-4. They're 1-4 against the Pacers this year. And that was with a healthy Giannis, I presume, for most of them. And now we know that at least at the start of the series, Giannis will be out. Pacers are going to win that series.
I mean, this really does become the ultimate test, though, of was Milwaukee going to take a step back in the regular season and take a step forward?
The playoffs matter, basically.
Correct.
I mean, the regular season
matter.
Well,
it's like the late shot clock. They now have a pure score. But, I mean, to me right now, I think I would still...
They're 17-19 under Doc. And their net rating under Doc, 17th in the league. And that's with Giannis. They haven't been very good.
The thing though is like, God, the Pacers just play absolutely no defense. The teams that we see that play at the breakneck pace early in the like once you get to the playoffs, like that style of play doesn't seem to last. Right now the Bucks are a slight favorite at Vegas. So if you like the Pacers,
go ahead and FanDuel, baby. Home and home with UNLV, big win for the University of Memphis.
Believe it or not,
opens next year at Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'll say I believe that. Like I do think on when we look at the scheduling future of Memphis. I'm not worried about getting the marquee games, whatnot. Like, if we're all just focused on the same mission, which is it's all about the tournament, these are the types of teams that you have to play because the Mountain West knows how to manipulate the numbers. So go get some head-to-heads against them. And so that way when, you know, if it comes down to resume time and we're talking about six Mountain West teams, be like, well, we went to UNLV and we beat, you know, your second team in the league. Like, I think it's a smart move.
Penny Hardaway is building his basketball team the right way.
Believe it or
let me. Given the fact that he had that many positions to fill, Penny Hardaway is building his basketball team for next year the right way.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I think I believe this. Like, I do think Penny falls into the trap oftentimes of a bit of a star banger. You know, wants to see all the talent, whatnot. I think the way that this team is being built, you can see that you're going to have clearly defined roles, and I don't think we're going to have to see as much up and down, you know, inconsistency, whatnot. Like, I think it's going to be clear. I think there's going to be a clear pecking order, and I like the way that they're going about that right now.
So John has just posted, I just retweeted a comment from John asking basically this question, is building a team around AAC All-Stars, who weren't actually even first or second team All-Stars, who were the best players or high volume shooters on crappy teams, is that really the way of doing this? It's not like they got a couple of stars and now they're building a bunch of, like.
Well, I mean, the question is, are we trying to build a tournament team? Are we trying to build, you know, the national title contender? Because I do have the questions right now of like, okay, what waters are they swimming in recruiting wise? Because it doesn't appear to me that you're swimming in, you know, the waters that the creme de la creme are. But by also getting the players you're doing, you're also weakening the league. You're strengthening your position and weakening the league.
Well, those guys were already in the portal. They were already leaving where they were leaving. I guess the question is this, is that, and I'm not, I don't hate it. You know, like for me, maybe it's because I've lowered the bar sufficiently. Mm-hmm. I just want them to get in the damn tournament, right? Yeah. I just want them to get in the damn tournament. Is this building a team that's going to beat UConn?
No.
No,
but it's, I don't know, not if anyone is.
Right, or whatever is going to be.
Sure.
Like when Penny came in here, we were talking about competing for titles. You know what I mean? Competing for Final Fours, competing for like whatever.
I do also think that was a different world even whatever 6 years ago.
Maybe it's that the bar has, for okay, maybe it's because his record of struggle, or maybe it's because the changing world or whatever else. It feels like you're just trying to scrape together a team that's going to get into the tournament, man.
Yeah,
isn't that depressing to you?
No, because where I would spin zone it, and this would be my pitch. All right, we've got to drop the formula that we had. Let's get back to basics. Let's get back to being a tournament team, a perennial tournament team, and then we build. Danny Hurley, the first two tournaments at UConn, they were one and done.
Right.
And then all of a sudden...
No, it took them a long time.
But like, to me, it's like you've got to rebuild some momentum because how did you phrase it? Like, this is the first time that maybe there's not the hope that there had been, like, in terms of the fan base. Like, to me, a key part of this is you've got to reinstill momentum. And I do think making the tournament again would be momentum. And I don't think you can't just try and do this, you know, high volatility, let's go get all these guys and then ride this roller coaster. Like, they need like some program stability, build an identity, and start getting back on track. And to me, that would be getting back on track.
And it is funny. So Colby Rogers, who's obviously the 3-point shooter from Wichita State, who's headed to Memphis now, he's 174 according to 247 in the portal, I think, something like that, right? And that's not Jalen Duren, right?
No.
On the other hand, there's 2,000 players in the portal.
Well,
it's not actually bad.
We didn't really live in this world then, but like, what would Tristan Newton have been in the portal?
Now, the difference is that I don't know what Tristan Newton would have been. The difference is, and I actually, it's funny because I talked to John about this column before. I said, do you think that UConn minds getting an East Carolina guy? Like, you know, seems to work okay sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And the difference, of course, is they have won.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
As opposed to four. They have won. They're adding one of these dudes as opposed to they're building a whole team around AAC All-Stars.
Yeah, but I mean,
who are not actually All-Stars.
I mean, at a certain point, though, you do have to. We were talking about this was coming into the problem for next year. It's like, all right, we saw where it was going, and it's like, well, what is the fix? Because it's not like you could just now go and start to build with high school guys, or you could. Like,
right.
You had to.
I don't hate what he's doing. I'm also not like throwing a parade. I think it's okay to be in the middle on this. You know,
yeah.
Seems like he's doing okay. And we'll wait and see how it fits. There was going to be skepticism about it anyway.
100% either way.
Yeah. So, Rory McIlroy is going to jump to live.
Believe it or not.
All right. So the rumors have been persistent And now we have a report from City AM, which I believe is a financial periodical from London. If you read the actual report, it is pretty loose. They basically said we've had two people with direct knowledge say that a deal is close.
$850 million?
$850 million with a 2% equity stake. I will say this. That when I read that offer, I go, that seems way too high. Like that, a lot of these live deals do get, like they're extremely lucrative deals, but a lot of them have been like overinflated. They're kind of like NFL contracts when you announce like,
what the hell's going to happen though? Like, and honestly, we've got a tournament here in Memphis. Like having Rory in Memphis, you know, we're already not having John Rahm in Memphis. We're already not having Bryson DeChambeau in Memphis. We're already, like not having Brooks Koepka in Memphis. Having Rory in Memphis is a needle mover. What the hell? Like, I do understand that Rory, who was, you know, the big defender of the PGA Tour, at some point, once your own tour mm-hmm. is in bed with Liv, and they've asked you to go out on a limb to like it's at that point all bets are off. I'm not going to call him a hypocrite.
No,
when his entire organization was hypocritical
behind his back.
Like screw you.
Yeah.
Like I don't care about that anymore. But what the hell is going to happen here?
So I mean,
and by the way, on top of it, ratings for the Masters were down 20%, topped out at 9.5 million.
Yeah, they were up on Wednesday, or on Thursday
for
and Friday.
Sunday. I guess for Sunday. For Sunday, they were down 20%.
Yeah, and I think that might have been because of the boring.
Right.
I think the fact that it made it to the back nine and you knew it was over, I don't think that helped. But they were up like early week. So the key issue in all of this, because why it feels like that there's just no forward progress, is essentially the only thing, like they framed it as a merger last summer, but really all they agreed to was we're going to stop suing each other. The PIF didn't want Discovery and the PGA Tour didn't want Discovery. So now the PGA Tour has brought in private equity, and so now you have tour players that are saying, well, we can still make, like we're going to get all this money. Why would we want to bring these guys back when they took a payday and split money with them? Like, we've gotten the money now. Why would we do that? And then you don't have a strong leader in the room that's like, here's what we're going to do. And so it's very similar to like what we see in college athletics, where because everyone's just looking out for number one, you end up having, you know, decisions get made that are not for the best of the sport. And then everyone just kind of winds up being like, this kind of stinks.
Memphis Barbecue should properly be, and now is properly, the official food of the state of Tennessee.
Believe it or not.
Well, what else would even be the options? I guess hot chicken would be, but I...
Well, the damnedest thing was, there was a... This is... So there are multiple official foods of the state, and this was not the first one. The first one was some kind of a slaw. It was hot slaw, which sounds like, you know, it sounds like it's the Wizards or something. Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. Hot slaw. The first official second food was hot slaw, which is something that they eat evidently in East Tennessee. Now, barbecue. It's Memphis barbecue. I do think it could be barbecue. Memphis barbecue is now, thanks to a bill that was recently passed, is now a second official food. I think hot chicken could be one, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like actual cuisine. And to me, like, and I think barbecue to me is a much more identifiable.
Hot slaw.
I'm like you. That does really sound like a pejorative.
Like, it just sounds like, a pejorative. Like, sounds like
Herbert
the Grizzlies.
Was hot slaw
sounds
in the
like
fourth
the,
quarter.
Sounds like the freaking Grizzly season,
yeah.
You know? Okay, I have some other questions for you.
Okay.
We have an official beverage. Any ideas? What do you think our official beverage is? What should it be?
Moonshine.
It should be moonshine,
like,
right?
Historically, yeah.
It should be your whatever. What's the...
Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
It's milk.
Yeah.
It's freaking milk.
Yeah.
Our official state
even
beverage
a big dairy state?
Is milk. Okay, how about our official bird?
That's mockingbird, right?
Yeah. How'd you know that?
Because that's one of those things you learn in school.
It's mockingbird and the bobwhite quail. I'll skip the butterfly. The official fish.
Catfish?
Should be. But I can buy smallmouth bass.
All right.
Right?
Sure.
Oh, channel catfish is second. There's two. There's two of them.
All right.
The official, this one is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Official fruit of Tennessee.
Official fruit.
I could buy this as an official.
Do we even grow that much fruit?
I could buy this as an official food if you put it between bread and add mayonnaise.
Bread between mayonnaise?
If you add, put it between white banana? Bread and add...
The
It's tomato. The official fruit is the tomato. That's ridiculous. The official horse...
I mean, the problem, though, is we're not really like a fruit grower.
Nah, I don't think we're big on fruit.
Yeah.
Official horse.
Walking?
Yeah, of course. Tennessee walking horse. Got nailed that one. Now we have three official insects, and obviously the mosquito should be the preliminary, but it is not.
It's undefeated.
It is undefeated, but it is not the freaking mosquito. So we do have three official insects.
Are these all going to be in like the cute category?
They're all nice insects. You wouldn't. They're all nice insects. Yes, you would all say, "Oh, I guess."
So ladybug.
Ladybug is one.
Lightning bug or whatever.
Well, you're very strong on insects. Lightning, firefly is two.
What would the third be?
The honeybee.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.